now. This is my job. I will not quit it. Pull me out the depths when I thought that I was finished. Yeah, I question.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is Anthony Alvarado from Rise and Grind Recovery Radio, also the president and co-founder of a national organization called Rise Together. This week, this holiday week, I want to thank each and every one of you for supporting the show over the last several weeks. We've had some unbelievable guests, and this week I'm especially excited that we get a chance to talk about a historical event. The U.S. Surgeon General just released a report on facing addiction in America. It's the Surgeon General's report on alcohol, drugs, and health in the United States. We're going to have Michael King, an outreach coordinator from Facing Addiction, talking about what their role has been in the U.S. Surgeon General's release. Outside of that, we are loving all the support that this recovery podcast is getting. If you want to learn how to get involved with Rise Together or this recovery radio show, please text the word RISE, R-I-S-E, to telephone number 44144. Again, that is RISE to 44144, and we'll go ahead and stay in contact with you and let you know what we have coming up here in Wisconsin and across the United States to face the addiction epidemic here in our country. Outside of that, I also want to thank all the family members, all of our friends, all of our supporters, and especially the teens out there that are supporting Rise Together and what we're doing here in America to fight not only against teen drug use, but also just really supporting student leaders all across the country. Your dedication, your online support, your testimonials, the feedback that you've given us over the last 3 years, this is a perfect week to just deep down from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And we could not have done this without you. For everyone else that's interested in also supporting Rise Together, I would suggest that you go out and check out the brand new article that we've been featured in on the Huffington Post. That's right, we went national over the last week. Absolutely amazing article with Alicia Cook. She is a Huffington Post contributor, really covering the work that we've been able to do over the last 3 years. And then outside of that, we just launched a GoFundMe as well. We're doing some holiday specials and some promos throughout the holiday season until up to end of the year. So you can go to GoFundMe and check out the campaign that I just launched called Preventing Teen Drug Use. You can also just go right to our website and check out the link on there or any of our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We've been putting it out there and been receiving some really great feedback and support. So thank you so much. In just a few moments after our break, we'll be back with Michael King.
Looking to bring a positive message to your next event? Contact Air and Allies. Air and Allies specializes in bringing entertainment to recovery events, daytime music events, and family-friendly community events. Air and Allies also specializes in bringing artists who bring a positive message to reinforce a better lifestyle to events like Mile of Music. Air and Allies can also help you plan and organize your event to make it successful. To learn more about making your event successful and feature a positive message, email Air and Allies at airandallies@gmail.com or look for the link on this podcast.
Are you looking to prevent drug use throughout your community? Rise Together is a national movement that is helping to educate and spread awareness on mental health and addiction. After traveling 100,000 miles and speaking to over 120,000 young people in just 3 years, they currently have one of the best school speaking programs in the world. They are now available for school seminars, event speaking, motivational workshops, public panels, and even corporate trainings. Contact them now by visiting www.weallrisetogether.org.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Anthony Alvarado from Rise and Grind Recovery Radio, and we are back in the studio this week, holiday week. Thanksgiving is coming up, and I am honored to have a super awesome, amazing dude by the name of Michael King from Facing Addiction. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Anthony. How you doing?
Good, good. I never used the word dude, so I just wanted to throw that in there. Just try to bring back the '90s a little bit more.
I grew up in the '90s, too, so I'm honored to get the dude label.
Right, right. And then maybe you can just turn on Nirvana after this, or you know, some Bush or something like that, right?
I'm gonna lose my focus if you keep going this way.
Well, we'll definitely have it on the song break, that's for sure. We'll dedicate a 90s song on that. But no, man, I can't thank you enough for taking your time out. I know you guys have been extremely busy over at Facing Addiction. And really, to all my audience out there, I mean, this show is really about advocacy and action. We really need people to stand up and to not only speak about the issues that are going on in their community, but to unite and band arms together and really face the addiction epidemic that our country is facing. And one of the people that are helping to do that on a national level is Mr. Michael King. So why don't you tell our audience a little bit about what you've been up to, what your background is, and you know, lead into the historical event of the U.S. Surgeon General releasing his recent report.
Absolutely. Well, thanks. And first off, thanks a bunch for having me on again, Anthony. It's always this, there's so much exciting stuff happening in the addiction and recovery space right now across the country. So there's really never been a more exciting time, first off, for the movement, but also just a more exciting time for people and organizations to hop on board and get involved with what Facing Addiction is doing as it relates to the Surgeon General's report in other ways, too. I'll say that, first off, I'm a person in long-term recovery, first and foremost, which for me means I haven't had to have a drink, a drug, or place a bet since February 16th of 2013.
Congratulations. Place a bet.
My life has gotten a whole lot better since then.
Yeah.
And I got, you know, my personal background, I worked in the political arena for over a decade, managing, organizing, doing communications work on political campaigns, and lost that career largely as a result of actions that I engaged in while I was still in active addiction. Mm-hmm. And in recovery, wanted to find a way to sort of merge my professional background in politics and community organizing with my newfound passion for recovery. And lo and behold, got a chance to get connected with a gentleman who I think you're having on soon named Greg Williams, who
yes.
has made a few films, his first one being The Anonymous People. And at the time, he and others were starting to organize for a big event that took place in October 2015 in Washington, D.C., called the Unite to Face Addiction Rally. And they brought me on board to help organize a bunch of states to get people to this rally. And at that rally, Facing Addiction was born. And
yeah.
What Facing Addiction is doing, which is kind of unique in the space, is that, and it's important to sort of kind of point this out because it's so critical to have this if we're going to really see any effective long-term policy change and effective advocacy, you know, which is Facing Addiction's aim is to unite the best and the brightest in the field of addiction and recovery, regardless of what their personal relationship to the issue might be, in order to enact real change and to see our very aggressive and comprehensive agenda through to fruition. So, you know, by building the rally, we talk to people in recovery, families that have lost loved ones, prevention and education leaders, harm reduction advocates, public health officials, criminal justice reform advocates, labor unions, faith leaders, Latino groups, LGBTQ organizations, women's organizations, really, you know, just a whole spectrum of different kinds of perspectives that people bring to the table on this issue. And we brought all of them together for this big launch event where we launched Facing Addiction. And then since the launch event, what we did was we gathered leadership from all these different areas of interest together again to figure out, you know, what are the issues in your particular area that you would like to see us take on a national level. And as a result of all this really incredible feedback and intelligence from the field, we were able to put together a comprehensive advocacy agenda, which you can see if you go to facingaddiction.org online. You can read through that whole agenda. And the agenda tries to take on, it's a comprehensive approach to the addiction crisis. It's not a one, you know, we look at everything from stigma reduction to the expansion of ESPRT programming, to reforming the criminal justice response, to promoting multiple pathways to recovery, as there is not a one-size-fits-all approach to recovery, to the mainstreaming of addiction health services.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of that agenda is really outlined in this report that was just released last week by the Office of the Surgeon General, which is called Facing Addiction in America, Surgeon General's Report on Alcohol, Drugs, and Health. And the report really covers the exact... essentially covers all of these points that we're trying to work on in our agenda. And it's pretty thrilling stuff, and I'm looking forward to talking about it in a little bit more detail.
Absolutely, man. So first of all, I just want to commend you and thank you for sharing your personal story of recovery. I mean, also helping to lead a charge and serving others and giving back to your community on a multitude of levels. I think facing addiction is definitely on the forefront of the recovery movement, and it's really great to be able to work with you guys and consistently, you know, have people from your organization on the show over the last few weeks, even Greg Williams coming up in December. I really look highly at the work that you guys do, like the anonymous people alone, in part helped change my life just because I was able to stand in recovery and stand stronger on that recovery, right? So to be able to say, like, I'm a person in long-term recovery. And what that means to me, what that really means to me is I'm able to say some really amazing, great, powerful things. Like, because of my recovery, I'm a good father. You know, it allowed me to be a father again, right? Like, allow me to go back to college, allow me to be a part of this community and be a responsible member of this community and be a best friend and a brother and all those really great things that, like, I lost in the grips of my addiction. And then,
absolutely.
And then see, like, powerhouses like Chris Aaron speak and really just be motivated to do school speaking like he is doing in some senses. He was an inspiration for us as well, and the work that we do with Rise Together. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation here, but I really just wanted to focus on, you know, thanking you, first of all. Your recovery is awesome. Well, the work you guys are doing is awesome. But
thank you for your recovery too. And you know, the one thing I have a very similar experience, and you know, I'm also get to be an attentive and present, loving father, and a good member of the community who doesn't break laws anymore and whatnot. But
I might speed once in a while, but that's about it.
For me personally, you know, I think the greatest gift of recovery for me has really been, you know, the gift of having a reflection in the mirror that I get to be proud of, you know, who I can look at the end of the day and say, I didn't take anything that didn't belong to me. I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't lie to anybody today. As for me, you know,
you can face yourself, right?
Absolutely. Well, you know, and I think for so many of us who have been through the depths of addiction, you know, it's like I didn't have a single day like that when I was in active addiction. Not on any given day could I look in the mirror and say those things at the end of the day. Chris Heron actually calls it the mirror test, right? And a lot of people don't get to pass the mirror test. And, you know, in my recovery, I get to do that today. And being able to do the work that Facing Addiction does, you know, for me personally, I try to be very mindful of my own recovery sort of separately from just the work we're doing with Facing Addiction. But, you know, it's hard to completely disconnect those two. You get an opportunity to help people. And for all the little responsibilities that I have with Facing Addiction, namely continuing to try to grow and expand our coalition of partnering organizations, which we call the Facing Addiction Action Network. But, you know, I also get these messages. Folks will email into us looking for help. And there is no more, on a personal level, there is no more gratifying part of my job than when I get that email from someone or from a family member who's looking for help. And because we have this amazing network of partners from across the country, everything from treatment centers to counselors to, you know, other people in recovery to families of loss, I get to connect those people. And honestly, I do a lot of work all day long, and those two emails that get sent to me every day, helping people make those connections is the single most gratifying part of my job, personally, I will say.
Absolutely, and I have to agree with you. I was actually talking to a lady that's a big supporter of Rise Together this morning at Starbucks, and with some of the comments that were saying, like, hey, you know what, we're doing some really great things. We just launched this recovery podcast show on iTunes, and, you know, we've really extending the message here locally and across the nation. We got featured in the Huffington Post, and, like, you know, I even talked to NYU recently, and I might be able to travel out there and do some, you know, speaking opportunities with that university. And I'm so grateful of the support from a professional level. But when it really comes down to it, man, like, when it really, really comes down to it, it's about the youth that we're serving. It's about our next generation. It's about, you know, it really started for me as a leader of this organization to, like, change my community for my children, right here in my own backyard on a local level, at a grassroots level. And that has extended beyond that, you know, beyond Green Bay, beyond Appleton, Wisconsin, and has expanded across the nation, which is really great and phenomenal. But if it wasn't for those kids, we wouldn't be here. Right?
Absolutely.
Like that outreach.
To remember too.
Right?
Well, I think it's absolutely. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, 90% of those who develop a substance use disorder, you know, start using in adolescence. I mean, this is the time as I mentioned, I have two young kids too. And, you know, there is no time too early to start talking to our kids about addiction, what it is, and to bring that message out to the community. Because, I mean, one thing that I think you're seeing on a national level, and unfortunately, these are notes that I have to read every day, and I'm sure you read them as well in your area, and I get to read them from all over the country, and they can be so heartbreaking that there is not a community in this country, there is not a family from any particular socioeconomic background or race or education level that this isn't impacting right now.
Right.
It's impacting so many families that, you know, never saw this problem coming for their family. And, you know, I think that while it's somewhat unfortunate that that seems to be what has elevated this issue in the minds of, you know, our public leaders, to really start taking it on and looking at it, you know, on a more honest level. And the Surgeon General's report will make a huge contribution to that debate. But given that fact, you know, it's time to really face addiction together as a country, no matter what our backgrounds might be, and no matter, as I said before, what our personal connection to it might be. You know, one in three families are directly impacted by it, and I would argue that all of us are indirectly impacted by it. You know, if you pay taxes in this country, then you're contributing to the $400 billion-plus dollars a year that is spent to clean up the mess that addiction leaves behind. Right?
Absolutely.
98% of what we spend on this issue currently is spent to clean up the mess, and 2% is spent on education, prevention, treatment, and recovery. And that's we need to flip that statistic. And that's really what the Surgeon General's report is aiming to do, is to really essentially reclassify addiction. We've been calling addiction a disease for 60 years now, but our response to it has never matched that rhetoric. And the Surgeon General's report is the start of a new day in that front, right? Where we're really going to take this issue, take it out of the criminal justice column where it doesn't belong, and move it into the healthcare problem, because it's a health problem. And when you are able to retrain, you know, when individuals who have not maybe put as much thought into this, when you're able to retrain your mind to think about this as a health problem rather than a criminal justice problem, it changes everything. It changes the entire perspective on the problem.
Exactly. And you start looking at these people as people that need help, right? Instead of people that are maybe criminals or have a moral failing issue, right? So you really start addressing through education and awareness, and by uniting our communities, you really start to eliminate some of the social stigma around addiction and mental health for that matter, right? So then people start to have not only more conversation, but more compassion for those that are struggling or those that have been impacted or those that have been afflicted. I mean, you just said, and how it says, like, at the top of the website, you know, one in three households are impacted by addiction. And U.S. Surgeon General even said one in every seven people will struggle with addiction or something of that sort. In other words, like, millions and millions of people are truly being impacted. And it is, quote unquote, an addiction epidemic or a social crisis. And drugs and alcohol are only really part of the conversation. But when you start uniting the communities, you can really start having those conversations like, yes, prevention does work. And the investment is also worth it. Treatment is effective. You know, we need more access to treatment, sure, but we need more treatment options, period. And there should be a day like in the future that would be amazing to be able to see things like when those students or those youth or those people that reach out to you via online or directly and say, I need help, you can say, let's go. Because we have the resources available, right?
Absolutely. And I think on that question that you bring up of access to treatment, I mean, the statistics here are pretty startling, right? I mean, 90% of people who are in need of treatment don't receive it. And you have to ask, well, why is that the case? And I think it relates to so many different factors, all of which are things that Facing Addiction is working to take on, you know, namely everything from the stigma of just simply, you know, that fear. I can speak from my own experience, knowing, especially in my last few months of drinking, you know, knowing this is out of control. This is a serious problem. I really should ask for help. And just being completely unwilling to do so for more than any other reason because of the idea of what was everybody going to think, you know, when I came out to talk about this problem that I was having. But then you also have things like the Parity, you know, in 2008, Congress passes the Parity Act that says that addiction needs to be treated, you know, on par with every other major health issue. Recent studies are finding that the implementation of that has not been as successful as we would like. The White House just had a whole Parity task force evaluating this problem. So there's a lot of work to be taken down on that front to make sure that our friends in the insurance business are living up to their promise from within that bill to provide access to treatment. But I think the stigma is a huge part of it, too. And you know, one of our first major agenda points, and it's something that the Surgeon General addressed at the summit event where the report was launched in Los Angeles, is to take on, you know, we have to humanize this problem. I even think that the word stigma has become slightly stigmatized.
Right, you use the word stigma, and it creates more stigma, in part.
Absolutely, and it's just about humanizing this. And, you know, if folks go to facingaddiction.org, you know, if you go underneath the tab called Action Network, you'll see a spot where you can click on a button called Take Action. And there are several little grassroots-driven programs that we have in place right now aimed at, you know, empowering individuals or their family members or experts in the field from other areas to tell their story, to write a letter to their local newspaper, right? To write an op-ed, you know, get your story out there, you know, if you are feeling up to do that, because it is a very personal choice. But, you know, the more that we can show that in recovery, we've become, as you were saying before, we are school teachers and police officers and politicians and lawyers and doctors and small business owners. And, you know, we are taxpaying, law-abiding folks in the community who have struggled with a substance use disorder in our life, but recovery has given us the ability to rejoin our communities. And I think that by telling that story, I got the opportunity to speak a little bit about my own story on a local news outlet up here in Seattle recently. And it's the most empowering thing we can do. And, you know, if you want that extra motivation to do so, by being able to help cut through the stigma that's attached to the issue, I think it goes a long way down the road towards improving treatment access to folks who are not getting it.
You know, I love that you say that. And one of the things that has been stated since the U.S. Surgeon General's report and release, which we'll talk about and go into deeper details in just a moment here, is that how we respond to the addiction crisis is a moral test of America. And in part, what we're talking about is, like, how are we addressing this as a public health issue? How are we caring about the people that are in need? How are we really taking a look at a comprehensive strategy that's going to really address the entire lifespan of individuals here in America with the cultural aspects that we do have? And we know there's social systemic issues around addiction, around mental health, around just social crisis conversation. I mean, it really, drugs and alcohol is just the tip of the iceberg. But if we really start to create community connections, love, compassion, education, awareness, conversation, it starts to eliminate that stigma. And that allows us to be like having people from the general community that may or may not be directly impacted say, you know what, I care about that cause. I care about those people because they're sick and dying. They're not criminals and should be locked away forever.
Absolutely. And I think that, once again, I think that, you know, what Facing Addiction is working with the Office of the Surgeon General now that the report has been released on this issue to kind of develop amplification strategies, right? How do we bring this out into our community? But I think for folks who listen, who want to get involved, want to help cut through that stigma, you know, promote expert and other prevention strategies and start to see some change in their community, this report is a wonderful tool by which to start doing that because, you know, it states as plain as day that this is a health issue that requires a healthcare response. And to be able to take this report, which can be found online, can be found on the Surgeon General's website online, you know, to take this report and bring it into your communities. And we are going to be continuing to develop with the Surgeon General's office over the coming weeks and months, you know, some more detailed strategies of how folks can do that. How can you bring this report into your community? You know, it's being compared already to the famous report that came out in the 1960s about cigarette smoking and the long-term impacts of cigarette smoking. That's what this is for addiction. It is a game-changing day for this issue, but now it's up to all of us who are active in the space, who are advocates, people in recovery who are willing to come out and tell our stories. It's up to us to take that information now and bring it out into our communities and tell our own personal stories and start demanding the real change that we need to see from our elected leaders.
Right, shouting from the rooftops and like going through and uniting to address Americans' health crisis. And, you know, as the Surgeon General reported, he's really emphasizing the idea behind the support for prevention and treatment and recovery support services, really looking at addiction as a true disease and having a public health lens as we view this social struggle, if you will, for lack of better terms, and
absolutely
appropriately addressing it. So with that being said, I know for all the listeners out there, we're into the show and we're talking about a lot of different things. You may not even be familiar with the addiction epidemic, and this might be your first time listening to this, and you're like, you know what, I do know somebody that struggles with addiction. I have a family member, I have a brother, a sister, a mom or dad, or whatever the case might be, and you know, I want to get involved because I don't want anybody else to go through those things. So what you can simply do with Facing Addiction is go to facingaddiction.org, and you can do your part to help eliminate the health crisis ripping apart America. So one in every three households households are being impacted by addiction, and one of those households might be yours. And one of the ways that you can stand up against that is unite with us in these efforts. So just go to facingaddiction.org, go ahead and put in your email, and click the It's Time to Act button, and they will deliver an actionable plan to you, how you can get involved. On top of that, we're going to be talking about the Surgeon General's report. So you can simply go to addiction.surgeongeneral.gov. Again, that's addiction.surgeongeneral.gov, and you can get the report. You can you can go ahead and look at the full report and the executive summary. It does take a little bit of time to read through, but it definitely is unbelievable information. It has not only has the introduction and explains addiction as a disease, but also takes a look at prevention strategies, treatment, recovery, healthcare systems, and then a vision for future implementations to address this health crisis. So with that being said, Michael, I know Facing Addiction was there with the Surgeon General, helping to promote the summit in LA. Can you tell me what that was, how historical that was, and why people should even be listening to what is happening right now?
Absolutely. Well, it was an amazing day. It was November 17th in Los Angeles at the Paramount Theater, which is on the Paramount studio lot. And, you know, we had everybody from celebrities to the U.S. Surgeon General to musicians who came on board to help with this summit. And what the summit event was basically walking through the report, walking through the findings of this report with several different panels made up of these experts who had the chance to share their experience and why the items that were outlined in the report were so critical. For anybody who would like to watch, it's about a little over 3 hours long, but it is available to watch. If you go to facingaddiction.org, you can find it on our website there as well. And I would encourage you to do that. There's some wonderful information. And it was, you know, there's a call to action in this too. Now we've got to take this report out into the communities that we live in and start talking about it. And you know, maybe that involves setting up a coffee with, you know, your local law enforcement, along with your public health officials, along with your elected leaders. Maybe it means hosting dinners at your house, you know, to face addiction over dinner and talk about this issue among, you know, close family and friends and what all you can do individually to help amplify this report and get it out into your community. You know, maybe it involves bringing your educators from your local school district involved, because I think, you know, obviously school is where we see so many young people first get access to these things, and school is where our young people spend so much of their time. So making sure that our schools are aware of this report and aware of its content is critical as well. There are so many things we can all do individually to help combat this crisis. And this day in Los Angeles was just really special. I mean, to have, you know, the United States, the top doc in our country, sitting there, you know, for me as a person in recovery, and I'm sure you would have experienced the same thing, Anthony, to hear the top doc say this is a health problem that warrants a health response. That is a groundbreaking day for this movement. That has not been said in those terms with the data and the information that's contained in the report to back it up ever before in our history. It changes everything. And now it's up to us. The Surgeon General has done a great job giving us the science, giving us the tools, giving us the roadmap. Facing Addiction has an agenda that we are actively trying to, that directly mirrors this report that we are working to implement right now. And now we need help from everybody listening today. If you're an individual, as Anthony said, I hope you can go online to facingaddiction.org and sign up to join our movement. If you're an organization, I would hope that you would be able to join our coalition of partnering organizations, as I mentioned before, called our Action Network, who stand in support of this agenda and who are the folks that we turn to help us implement this agenda and help make serious policy proposals to us internally. You can also join the Action Network as an organization by going to facingaddiction.org. And I hope everyone is able to do that today, because we need more and more and more organizations and individuals. The coalition right now, our Action Network, and as I said before, is made up of organizations from across the addiction spectrum. Every type of organization is there. You know, it's over 375 groups that have a collective reach of over 25 million people. If we can get all these groups and continue to grow it engaged on amplifying this report, we are going to reach a huge portion of the population, but we need it to keep growing.
I love that, man. The outreach that you guys are helping to really unite is unbelievable, and the voices are definitely being heard. And how empowering is that for individuals in recovery? And just like when we had Ryan Hampton on, I know the big conversation was now more than ever. We need to keep the momentum going. We need to continue to rise together. We need to continue to speak out, stand up, and really talk about the issues that are happening in your community on a localized level. You know, talk to the schools, talk to the parents, talk to the local leaders, talk to the local foundations, those that support other causes, and address this conversation in a way that this is a public health issue that every community is suffering with. And one of the ways that we can start getting involved is speaking about it and breaking the silence. Because in our world, indeed, silence does equal death. And unfortunately, we're in this place where, but fortunately and unfortunately, we're in this place where voices do need to be heard. Because if this momentum dies down, especially with a launch of this type of report, the comprehensive report that we have here in front of us, the valuable information, the way that it can be used to help change your local school, your college, your community, one city at a time, a county, a region, a state, an entire United States, it has to start at the ground level, right? Because, I mean, we're all doing phenomenal work trying to address this through education and awareness and really encouraging people to step up. But without that action, guess what happens? Nothing. Right? So you guys are providing a platform to do that. So within the report specifically, I know we just briefly, you know, went over some of the key topics. I know there were some key findings in there. And is there anything that you would really like to address today that you think is absolutely important that people must hear? I mean, there's a lot of information there. And we know that prevention can be key. Early intervention can help save lives. Treatment is absolutely needed. And management of substance use disorders, we need to look at all pathways to recovery as well, which I believe is one of the biggest barriers to people's long-term sustainability and long-term recovery, is the fact that we don't talk about the options that are available in the community and options that we actually need to advocate for. So for me, I'm hoping that I can advocate or be one of the bigger advocates here in this conversation today to say, we need, if anything, from a prevention standpoint, is we need more resources for youth. I mean, my son is in the studio today sitting right next to me, and I know, looking at him right now, considering the family history of addiction, whether it's myself or grandparents, et cetera, he is far more likely to struggle with addiction or have a struggle with a mental illness. But if he were to ask for help today, man, guess what? More than likely, and we have a great community right here throughout the Fox Valley, he would not be able to receive the help that he needs, and that's
absolutely
not okay with me.
It's not. It's absolutely not okay. And I think you do a great job, Anthony, kind of outlining the findings of the report. One thing that I would emphasize with it, and it's right in the first some of the first words that are written in the report, it can happen to anybody, right? I mean, it can happen to anybody, and the whole theory that substance use disorders develop from substance misuse, right? By which the way that we can prevent our young people from misusing our substances is by educating them and being honest about it with folks and perhaps walking through some of those specifics of why it is this way and how it works. You know, I think that we're all pretty settled on the idea that just saying no is probably not an effective strategy. And frankly, it's probably somewhat disrespectful to your kids, my kids, and everybody's kids. Yeah. But, the report does a great job laying out, look, this is what this can do. This is why it can end up being a problem. And this is how you can get involved. And this is the pathway. And then if somebody does develop a problem here with, the substance use disorder leads into the gravest form, also known as addiction, that there is a pathway to help people as well. So I think you do a great job outlining the report. And it, as you mentioned, it is lengthy, but it is well worth anybody who has a deep-seated interest in what's going on here. Go check it out, because there is so much in here. Go check out the report. Go to Facing Addiction. Look at the agenda, which, as I said, mirrors this report very well. And, get involved. Help us get this stuff done, because we can't do it alone. It's going to take an army of individuals and organizations to do it.
Absolutely. And one thing before you get going today, I want you to hone in on just one thing that there's a lot of things here that I'm really excited about, but an initiative that you guys have. Ultimately really gears towards prevention and educating youth, and specifically at home. I know for us, more of a school-based program, when we have the ability to break social barriers, have a conversation about the issues that these teens are facing, and then they're able to take that message, that education, home, because they've been empowered by it, and then talk to their parents about maybe some of the issues that they're struggling with, whether it's drugs, alcohol, cutting, burning, bullying, you name it, they're able to have a vocal, open, honest, safe conversation with their parents and receive direction, love, and support from people that can help guide them through those struggles, which happen to be their parents or grandparents or whoever's in the household, or maybe it's a brother or sister, but that needs to be happening on a very wide spread level. In some part, conversation is key, and it seems so simple, but it can help not only support those individuals that might be struggling, but it also can prevent future struggles from happening. So you guys have Facing Addiction Over Dinner. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Because I love this campaign.
Absolutely. So this is an opportunity to kind of provide a framework for communities to for individuals. I mean, to rally family and friends together and have a guided discussion, if you will, on this issue about how it's personally affecting them, personally affecting their community. You know, some of the most prominent conversations that we have in our families happens over dinner, right? What happened to our day? What are we thinking about? How was school? How was work? You know, what do you think about the president-elect? How do you feel about this issue? Did you read the news today? These conversations happen in families over dinner tables. And why not utilize that time to talk about a problem like addiction and to talk about our personal feelings on the subject matter with our families, our friends, our experience with the issue, bringing it all together. And if you go to facingaddiction.org, there are resources to help develop some of this stuff and to help guide these conversations. And I think it's a great opportunity for people to do just that.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So if anybody wanted to go ahead and get a hold of you guys, besides just the facingaddiction.org, is there, if anybody had any questions specifically to you as an outreach director for United States and for Facing Addiction, how would they get a hold of you? What is the best way?
Best way, you know, you can email facingaddiction by just info@facingaddiction.org, but I'm also welcome I'd love to talk to anybody who wants to chat about this stuff anytime. And I'll share my personal email. It's just mking, M-K-I-N-G, @facingaddiction.org. And please don't hesitate. You know, I put it out there for a reason. You know, this is how we grow the coalition. We grow our support by connecting with folks. So don't ever hesitate to reach out. And this is fantastic. I'm so excited that people are getting so engaged on this issue.
I love it, man. And I can't thank you enough again for being on today's show and sharing your story, sharing your life's work and your purpose. It has inspired us over here in the Midwest. So we're going to continue to be part of your efforts as well. And thank you for being supportive of this conversation here. It is extremely crucial. Everyone that's out there, now it is your turn indeed to do your part, to get involved, to go to facingaddiction.org, put in your information. It's time to act. Unite our voices, conversate, go out and get involved in your local community in ways that you never have before, because in part, that's not only going to encourage people to share their story, and stories are unbelievably powerful and valuable, but also it's going to allow people to ask for help for the very first time. It's also going to allow people to advocate for the things that are missing in their community to serve the needs within that community. And on top of that, it also can be a lot of fun and an amazing change in somebody's life. I mean, I've seen people get involved in the recovery movement and it has completely changed their outlook on their own personal life. It has helped build relationships that they never had before and open up doors of opportunity even in their career that they never, ever thought were possible. I mean, man, tomorrow I am celebrating 4 years of complete sobriety. So it's like a birthday on Thanksgiving. And I am so thankful that I get to share those experiences and that story with people, and that people are actually listening and that we're heard and we're actually finding love and connection and being supported and helping to save lives, man. And you're helping to do that as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Anthony. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode with Michael King from Facing Addiction. You're going to be able to find this episode on iTunes. All you got to do is search Rise and Grind Recovery Radio with Anthony Alvarado. Otherwise, you can go to weallrisetogether.org, and you can check out our blog or our podcast feed. You can also check out previous interviews with other national leaders, educators, and speakers from all over the country. Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone out there. Much love. So what's going on, guys? This is Anthony Alvarado back at you with Rise and Grind Recovery Radio, and we just had an amazing interview with Mr. Michael King. He is from Facing Addiction. I actually got connected with this guy when they did the Unite to Face Addiction Rally in Washington, D.C. Just over the last year. As an outreach coordinator, he was literally contacting every single state and some of the leaders from those states to, you know, participate in the national rally. And since then, Facing Addiction has been born. I've also had some other members from Facing Addiction on the show in previous weeks. We also have co-founder Greg Williams coming up in December. Our conversation with Michael King today was specifically about the U.S. Surgeon General's release report on addiction here in America and really how to face the addiction epidemic that our country is seeing today. There is a conversation around prevention, really addressing addiction as a disease, also taking a look at treatment and more access to resources, helping to build a recovery-ready community, and also extending recovery support services so we can really address this as a public health issue. And one of the ways that we can continue to do that is by eliminating the social stigma that surrounds addiction. And one of the key ways to eliminate that social stigma is through education and awareness. And if you're looking at this and saying, well, how can I get involved? You can go to facingaddiction.org and you can go ahead and take action now. Put in your information and do your part to help eliminate the health crisis that is ripping apart America. One in every three households are actually impacted by addiction, and probably even more so. Millions and millions of people are either struggling with the disease of addiction or impacted because somebody else in their family or a loved one or a friend is actually struggling with addiction from drugs and alcohol. With that being said, prevention is absolutely key. Prevention, education, and awareness is really where this is going to continue to gain momentum. So if you're a person in long-term recovery, or even if you're a person that is seeking recovery, ask for help today. I know we have some great resources on weallrisetogether.org. There's a great find help section that addresses not only the need for treatment, but also looking at recovery support services like peer support specialists and recovery coaches and wraparound services that can really engage individuals seeking or in recovery before treatment or even after treatment. You can also go to facingaddiction.org. They have a find help section down at the bottom of their webpage. They actually are using a lot of the information that SAMHSA is putting out in regards to locating local service providers. Also, on top of that, there are some great prevention initiatives that we're taking on here at Rise Together. If you're learning or want to get involved with Rise Together, all you have to do is go to weallrisetogether.org and go to the Take Action section. Otherwise, you can go ahead and you can text the word RISE to 44144. There's also some great take action steps with facingaddiction.org. Down at the bottom, I love the Facing Addiction Over Dinner. Just go to the bottom of the webpage and you can click on Learn More and check that out. Also, today we mainly talked about the U.S. Surgeon General's report. All you have to do to view that report is go to the website, the U.S. Surgeon General's website, which is addiction.surgeongeneral.gov, or just go to surgeongeneral.gov and check out the key findings for the addiction report. It does address not only drugs, but also alcohol and looking at it as a public health issue. So there is some great information there. Outside of that, prevention is absolutely key. And ultimately, I started Rise Together and even this Rise and Grind Recovery Radio Show because I have been directly impacted by addiction. I myself struggle with the disease of addiction, but I am grateful that I'm a person in long-term recovery. And what that means to me is that I've been completely clean and sober for four complete years as of tomorrow, which will be Thanksgiving here today. And I can't be any more excited to be able to share that experience with you and with the thousands of students that we educate, but more importantly, with the family members and the leadership that have been able to take back into my home and being a father. And I actually have my son in the studio today. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
I know this guy is super nervous, which I don't know why. You've been on stage. You have talked not only on stage, but you've also been in front of the news cameras. You have done statewide, you know, campaigns with us. You've been all over social media. You're pretty much crushing it everywhere within Rise Together. I think you're our most popular person on the team, and you're only, what, 13 years old. So how are you feeling today, man?
Pretty tired.
You have your first day off of school today for Thanksgiving break. What are you going to do with your time?
Spend time with family.
And what are you thankful for this year? Well, you're thankful for family,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And probably the time off and being able to sleep in today.
Yeah.
And basketball. Yeah, you were crushing those threes last night, weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, I just want to thank you, son, for being in the studio today, but most importantly, for just sticking by my side. I know the last few years definitely have not been easy, and, you know, there has been some complications and struggles and realities of not only dealing with, like, the struggles that I have with addiction and mental health, how that has impacted you directly, you know, as my son, but also, like, we together have supported each other, right? And that's what family is all about, having safe conversations at home, supporting each other, understanding each other, you know, being able to build, like, a real relationship and have that connection together. If it wasn't for you and Jada, I don't know if I'd be sitting on this radio station today or really doing anything. I would probably, unfortunately, not be here at all. So I just want to thank you for being in my life. You're the best thing that has ever happened to me. Pretty cool.
You're welcome.
I know it gets a little serious. Like, what am I supposed to say, Dad? I'm on the radio. But no, both of us wanted to go ahead and just thank everybody out there. We love what we're doing here today. We love being in the studio. We love the work that we do. It's great that I can have my son travel with me as well, and you can join us in these efforts. But everybody that's out there, this is a holiday season. I know sometimes it can be even a little stressful. Unfortunately, we do see increases in some social struggles and problems during the holiday season. And as indicated before, if you are in need of help or know somebody that's in need of help, please go out to the websites that we listed. I know there is an increase in suicide and even substance use disorder during this time. This is really a time to celebrate the life that we have, to be grateful for the things that are in our life and really focus on those things that are important, like family and friends and being able to sleep in on the holidays and maybe not even go to school and maybe even get a couple days off of work and just really connect with the people that are in your life, even if it's just that one person. You know, connect with that person and tell them why you are thankful for them. I think, if anything, being able to recognize and recognize gratitude in your life can help bring joy into your life. And I know our youth outreach director really hit on that topic this week. Nadine, I have to thank you for the information and education you brought to us in regards to gratitude. And look, guys, life can be tough. Life can be filled with struggles. But often what we're finding is that you go about it alone, it's far more difficult. So find that ally, find that support, find that family member, that mom, that dad, that brother, their sister, or find that person at your school or within your community that you can receive support from. Asking for help is okay. And for some people, that is the first step. So everybody out there, happy Thanksgiving. And if I don't talk to you before then, also happy holidays and Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for supporting Rise Together and the Rise and Grind Recovery Radio Show with Anthony Alvarado. Take it easy.